Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome back, friends. Thanks for listening. This segment of the show is brought to you by Olive Crest and features Scott Bailey of the Sandler Training by Bailey Marketing Concepts. We're going to talk about some interesting things, but the title we came up with was How to Avoid the Unpaid Consultant Trap. How many of you have ever found yourself in giving away that information? I'm very curious to hear what Scott has to say. So, Scott, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Bill. It's really great to be here. Thanks for inviting me in today. Nice digs.
My pleasure. This is the worldwide headquarters of OCTalkRadio.com, the working of Paul Roberts. So he enjoys any of those compliments you just moved up on his list right there. So we always like to get started by getting to know a little bit about our guest. Scott, could you tell us a little about your background and how you got into this particular line of work?
Well, it actually goes all the way back to my childhood, like everything does, right? And I remember growing up wanting to be something, and every kid wants to be something. What did you want to be growing up?
A garbage man.
I don't believe you. Well, I wanted to be a fighter pilot because my dad flew P-47s in World War II.
Well, you got to ride on the back of those trucks back in the days. It looked pretty awesome.
That's right. And as it turned out, my eyesight wasn't so good. I figured out at about 12 years old I wasn't going to be getting to the Air Force. So I had a knack for science, and I ended up majoring in biology in school with a long-term plan of getting into an optometry school and becoming an optometrist. Well, as luck would have it, I got a little tired of school, needed some money, so I thought I would quote-unquote try sales, and ended up 20 years later in a long career and found myself up in front of a room of a lot of people, getting an award for Salesperson of the Year, and thinking to myself, what am I doing here? After 20 years, I guess I really am a salesperson. And I felt like an imposter and realized at this point, maybe it was time to take my career seriously. So I hooked up with a Sandler trainer, and within 6 months saw an incremental increase of my own sales of approximately 30%. But the real difference was I stopped working so hard. I began to follow a systematic approach to selling, which I had never used before. Well, I actually called it the SOP system, which stands for seat of the pants. A lot of people think that stands for standard operating procedures, but
okay.
I began to use a true system of selling, and as a professional salesperson, I saw the difference it made. And as things happened, there were some things going on in the industry, the medical industry, and the FDA targeted our company. It became time to leave, so I flew back in 1994. It was this month in 1994, I met David Sandler, and got into this business, opened my Sandler Training franchise 20 years ago, and I've helped hundreds of companies and thousands of business professionals of all different walks of life, and we have a lot of fun doing what we do.
Now, I sat through a presentation that you gave at an organization, and it was very impressive. I've been in sales for 30 years, and I've been through all kinds of training programs, like you were talking about. But I thought the process and the system that you came up with was very unique. Tell us a little bit about how that's different than what you see out there.
Well, that's a good question. The basic principle of Sandler is do the opposite of what a salesperson would do. It's called a pattern interrupt or a contrarian system. For example, most salespeople are trained in the ABC rule, always be closing. Remember that, Bill?
Always be the first. Okay. Yeah.
Well, prospects are onto that. They know that you're going to try to close them at some point after your presentation, and they already know what they're going to tell you. Typical response is, well, Bill, I really need to run this by the committee, or I need to think about this, or I need to sleep on it. And we know, we've proven that those kinds of responses are really no's. So where the standard salesperson or the classically trained salesperson asks for a yes, the Sandler trained salesperson asks for a no. So it's a contrarian system. It takes time to learn it. It kind of goes against the grain. It's like learning to write with your non-dominant hand. But it's a lot of fun to learn, but it does make you a little bit uncomfortable getting to learn it.
Well, we all know that it's easier to say no than it is to say yes for the client. So when they say no, they're actually implying that they're moving ahead, and it just kind of rolls off their tongue, right?
And I also remind my students, if you will, that a no never equals never. A no does not equal never. So just because somebody tells you no for now, that just push on and go for more yeses in the marketplace. We find that when you ask for a yes, you'll probably get a think it over, which is really a slow no. If we ask for a no, you're more likely to get a yes.
Interesting. And you know, it's, what's interesting about the whole process that I saw anyways was that it, you really have thought through how is the buyer thinking and approaching it in an empathetic way instead of just, like you say, let's, you know, think about it from the Alec Baldwin, you know, first, you know, it's a sales contest. What was it? First prize is a Cadillac, and
well, the first step
second prize, you're fired.
The first step in a typical prospect system is they don't necessarily tell the truth to the salesperson. They like to bluff. It's like a card game. So they understand that salespeople and business advisors are full of a lot of information. So they often feign interest. And that creates a happy ears situation in the advisor's standpoint. They become emotionally involved and they end up talking too much. They give way too much information because that's all they know how to do. That's where their strength is product knowledge or expertise.
Now, how about all the professionals out there, Scott, who say, well, I'm not a salesperson. I'm a professional, but I do need to move my prospective clients into a engagement mode.
Well, trusted advisors or what we call solopreneurs, these individuals are everywhere and they're growing by leaps and bounds as they're leaving corporate America. They're realizing that I need to start my own business. But there's a sales function that they have to do. And you see them in networking meetings. Networking is not selling. Networking is getting the horse to the stream. Selling is getting the horse to take a drink from the stream. That's the difference between marketing and selling.
What about the term rainmaker that's bandied about so much? Is that just the person who's out bringing them? Are they drinking or are they just coming to the street?
You hear the term rainmaking among the legal area. Rainmaking is selling. That's just a code word for it. Marketing, relationship management. You hear that among bankers all the time. We don't sell, we build relationships. We hear this all the time. It's code. It's selling, like it or not. You ever go on a date? That's a sales call. A job interview, that's a sales call. Convincing your wife or husband of taking a cruise or something like that, that's a selling situation. So we're all selling all the time. Mm-hmm. My first sales call was probably made on my parents when I told them what I wanted for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
We're always selling.
We're all trying to help and bring people and influence people to a change in their current situation, which is help by helping them engage our services, then we're going to help them get out of a jam or build a bigger business or something along those lines.
Yes.
So no matter what you call it, right?
Yeah.
So you just got to come to grips with the fact that no matter what you call it, it's a sales type of a function, right?
But the primary focus is the client. The primary focus is the prospect. And we use what we call the platinum rule, which is do unto others as they would like done to themselves. That's the primary purpose of it. And if you approach it that way, you're helping people see their pain. And if you're the solution for the pain, they'll buy from you. And all the objections people typically get about pricing, all that tends to melt away.
Excellent. I'm talking with Scott Bailey of Sandler Training by Bailey's Marketing Concepts. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to ask Scott to share some stories, tips, and ideas and precautions that you can use. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the show for age 50-plus business owners. We're interviewing over 250 professional advisors for their tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new 20-minute interviews and 1-minute highlights every day at ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Are you frustrated by sales mediocrity? Do something about it. Sandler Training by Bailey Marketing Concepts, Inc. has been affiliated with Sandler Training and the Sandler Sales Institute since 1994, serving clients in Orange, Riverside, and Los Angeles counties. Scott Bailey and Will Christ have nearly 30 years of combined experience selling, training, and coaching their clients in the Sandler selling methodology. Their clients range from one-person companies and professional consultants who must build their practices to Fortune 100 publicly traded multinationals. Many of their clients have been working and training with them for over 10 years. Ask for their free white paper entitled 10 Things That Can Get in the Way of Sales Success. Call Scott Bailey at 949-263-0640. That's 949-263-0640. Welcome back, friends. Just a reminder that we've interviewed dozens of advisors on a wide variety of topics, and you'll find all of their interviews and highlights online at exitcoachradio.com or on iTunes at itunes.exitcoachradio.com. And I'm talking with Scott Bailey, and we're talking about basically the fact that no matter who you are, what you do, at some point you're going to be in a sales situation, and your goal is to influence the behavior of another person to help them, to basically get them past their no, or in some cases, have them say no, and that means yes, right?
Not always. You have to be comfortable with a no.
You have to be comfortable, yeah, right.
Right.
That might be your outcome.
One of the approaches as I teach my clients at our boot camps is I say, approach every sales call like you have the winning lottery ticket in your pocket. After the sales call, I'm going to go cash my $100 million lottery ticket. That way, I'm not going to become emotionally involved. I'm going to be able to see clearly what's happening in front of me, and I'm able to take whatever the prospect says to me without an emotional attachment to the outcome.
Clients smell fear?
I believe so.
Okay.
Whatever weakness you take in with you on a sales call, the client will typically exploit it.
Okay, so tell us about a client situation, somebody that came to you and what their situation was before, during, and after you were working with them, Scott.
I'll give you a situation of a trusted advisor. This particular individual happened to be an immigration attorney. He ran a small boutique law firm, and he was the poster child for unpaid consulting. Okay, if you looked at Wikipedia, there was a picture of this guy. He came to me, he was referred by an estate planning attorney, and I remember he came into my office. He was like broken down. I said, well, what's going on? He says, well, I'm seeing about 6 clients a day. Well, how many are you converting to clients or closing would be the term? He says, maybe one. And he says, and I'm tired of this. I said, well, tell me a little bit about what's happening. He says, well, the prospects come in and they say, can you help me with becoming a U.S. citizen? And I said, what happens then? And he says, well, I spend about 55 minutes showing them how I can help them. I got my Stanford degree. I belong to this board of advisors. I'm this, I'm that. You need to buy from me. And then I push a contract across the table at them and they say, I want to think it over and I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I said, well, let's try a new technique. When the client comes in, a potential client comes in and says, can you help me become a U.S. citizen? I want you to say, I'm happy to tell you how I do that, but I have to ask you a question first. Is that okay? And they always grant the question. Before I tell you how I help you, tell me why you want to be a U.S. citizen. He would ask that question, and the whole shift of the meeting, he literally had to stock his office with Kleenexes because he got the real story, and he went from a closure ratio from 1 out of 6 to 5 out of 6.
Wow.
With a simple question like that. Now, he had to understand that that was a sales role, and he had to understand that that's all that was. But in the meantime, he was helping these people see their own reasons, and it had nothing to do with the immigration attorney. It had to do with the client.
So by really getting at them to get engaged and involved right. in the process right. early,
yeah.
then he changed the game.
Right. Generally, it has to do with asking better questions. Most professional service advisors are really good at answering questions. They're smart people. I was always sitting in the front of the class. I was the number one student. I was, except me for maybe the 4th grade, I was the teacher's pet. I had more gold stars up against my name than anybody in the classroom. And our whole educational system is based upon what you know and how you express it in education. But the real power of selling comes from asking questions, not answering them.
Makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. And people aren't really trained to do that.
I mean,
even if, and a lot of the professional folks that I run into, they've spent a lot of time behind books, they're not people, you know.
They're
not,
smart, for sure.
They're very smart, but they're not necessarily conversationalists
right,
in the first place.
What you know can hurt you, and they get very little to no training in business development in school.
Right.
They're not even aware that they have to do that when they hang their plaque out.
They don't even know what they don't know at that point. So what's the first step when someone comes to Sandler, comes to you, Scott? What's the first thing that you do with them?
Well, I generally meet with somebody for about an hour, and we do that for free. And that's not unpaid consulting, because at the end of the hour, they'll spend $500 with me. And we do a full-on assessment. We measure the core competencies of what it takes to be a superstar salesperson. We actually know what that is, who Superman or Wonder Woman is. And we reference you up against that. You come back, we do a 90-minute overview with you. We show you a plan, and if you want to get started, we onboard you. Onboarding means a 2-day boot camp. I've been doing boot camps for 15 years, and I've got a particular proprietary method I like to say I'm pretty good at the training part, and I figured out ways to jumpstart people within 2 days where they can leave with two or three ideas to immediately put into play to get their practice or firm turned around. And professional service providers have had so little training that the growth potential is absolutely ridiculous of what they get out of it. They don't have to break a lot of bad habits. I don't have to untrain them in the other sales tactics. And then they fall into a reinforcement mode. So to recap, it's assessment, onboarding, and then reinforcement mode. To get good at anything, you have to practice it over and over and over again. If you're a tennis player, you get out there, you do your ground strokes, your back strokes, your lobs, and you practice it over and over again. So with Sandler, you never hit mastery. You're always working towards it. That's the difference. It's not really a check-the-box training program. My clients, you mentioned, some have been coming for over a decade, and that's true, because every time they come, they're getting a little piece of information, and they're growing as a person, and they're growing their firms and their companies, because it's all about sales, top line.
Now, you mentioned something about a profile in there. Is there such thing as a profile of a born salesman, if you will?
That is the biggest myth in the world. If you're looking at me on the scale of, I started off as a psychology major, and I think I did that because I wanted to figure myself out. But you're not looking at somebody who liked to be in the limelight. In fact, most really good salespeople are introverts, because while all the extroverts were out slapping people on the back, we were quietly watching and listening and thinking and strategizing. So the myth is that the backslapper is the good salesperson. If you hate people, sales is probably not for you. But a little bit of introversion is actually helpful, because you ask questions.
I was going to say, on the flip side of that, is there such thing in your profiling as, forget it, you will never be a good salesperson. You just don't have what it takes.
When an individual comes to me and they're about to pay for training, they're almost always trainable, or they wouldn't be there. Make sense? Mm-hmm. When we work with a company, and we're brought in, and let's say there's 10 salespeople, and they say, I'd like you to train my sales force. I always flip it back on the president and say, how do you know they're trainable?
Right.
Well, we need to find that out first. Do you want to find out if they're trainable before or after we get started? Well, before. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to profile everybody. Now, the statistic, my data show that about 28% of a typical sales force is not trainable.
28%?
About 28%.
Hmm.
I'll let you decide if you want to train him or not, but I like my client to know up front who is trainable. And we like to take the top third of a sales organization and train them.
And make them better.
That's how you get...
There's always been the 80-20 rule, right? You get 80% of your sales from 20%.
Take good people and make them a lot better.
But take the second tier people who aren't in that 20% and bring them up.
They'll improve. Now, somebody could not be trainable. We found people that are nearing retirement. They're set. They've got a book of business, and there's no incentive for them to get out of bed every morning and hit the street and do the tough things that a salesperson has to do. And that's okay. Just leave them alone. They're not going to benefit from training.
Okay, Scott, we're out of time today, but can you give us a couple really quick tips?
A really good tip would be, here you go. A lot of sales calls in with... when a prospect says, when the professional service provider asks for the business, the prospect will typically say, you know, I really want to think this over. Okay, Scott's rule is this. On a sales call, if the prospect says, I want to think it over, generally the only one thinking it over is the salesperson. End every sales call with the 5 allowable outcomes. A yes, we like those, right? Get the check. The check clears. Okay, you can get a no, right? No is okay. No doesn't mean never. You can get a clear next step. Note that is not the same as a think it over. A clear next step is a contract to move forward. And that's another discussion we'll have about a contract. We can get a lesson. We can always get a lesson. What did we do that worked this time? Once you learn what worked, go back and do it again. That's how you build a system. Learn what didn't work. And the fifth thing we can get on a sales call is an introduction or a referral. I'll meet with a client, I'll say, I may not be able to help you, but I belong to a lot of consultants. If I can't find help for you, I'll find somebody else that could do it if I can't help you. Or maybe you know somebody that you could refer to me if I can't help you. So that is an allowable outcome of a sales call.
So it's all about having a positive outcome no matter what happens. It might not be the check, but at least maybe you've built a relationship or a pathway to something else.
Right.
Or you're clear that you're not going to be worrying about... you know, going home and telling lies to your deal. Spouse.
We have a rule. There are no such thing as bad prospects, only bad salespeople. Okay.
Well, Scott, how do people get in touch with you? What's the best way?
You call me directly at 800, the number 4, B-A-I-L-E-Y, 800-4-BAILEY, or email me at scott.bailey@sandler.com.
And that's B-A-I-L-E-Y.
You got it.
Scott, it's great. Thanks very much for coming in. We're going to have you back sometime and get deeper into some of this stuff. And in the meanwhile, we're going to take a short break and be right back. So please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.